Good morning, church.
Morning.
Good morning, all, and welcome to the Vines, both those people who are here and you online. We trust that this time will be one of meeting with God. So have we had a good week?
Yeah,
mostly. Sometimes it's good, it has its ups and downs. But God is always good, and he's been good to me this week, and I praise him for his goodness, which follows us all the days of our lives. Let's stand, let's worship him. The Lord God reigns, and it's not dependent on us. He is there.
Hallelujah.
Lord Heavenly God, you reign. You reign in your heaven and you reign on earth. And your kingdom is not dependent upon us. And yet, Lord, you include us. You allow us and request us to be part of the workings of your kingdom. You love us that much, you allow us to fail. And Lord, we do. We don't meet expectations. We don't offer as much as we should. And Lord, we come before you this week and we confess those things. Those times we haven't taken opportunities. The times that we have spoken quickly and sharply without thought. Lord, those times we've ignored those around us or fallen back into those habits we know you don't like. Lord, thank you that your Son died and we are forgiven. When we accept your Son, our slate is wiped clean. Help us to be worthy. Help us to grow and to learn and to love more, that we may be worthy of your great love. Lord, we come this morning to offer you this time and our love. Take joy, we ask, in what we offer you today. Lord God, we welcome you here this morning as you welcome us. Take this time, we pray, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before you sit down, welcome online or each other. Invite you to turn to those around you, welcome each other, give them a wave. Hi there, good to see you. Good morning. Okay, kids, we're going to get the kids to come down the front so we can do a bit of a conversation. Kids, want to come down the front, you wonderful people. Are you bigger people if you like to come down the front, if you're brave and courageous? Last week, and I was not here last week because I was with my wife and daughter in Bendigo, and we were seeing Elvis, yes. Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. It was a lot of fun, actually. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, but there you go. Last week, David did a map, and he was talking about God having the whole world in his hand, and he drew a hand, and he drew your hand. And I was thinking, well, God loves. How do we know? When we look at each other, we're all different, aren't we? What do you notice? Does God, what do you notice about us that's all different? What do you see? What are you going to see? Hey, like, I'll get the microphone happening. What's different?
Ages.
Ages? I didn't expect that. A good one. What's different?
Sizes.
Sizes. I like that one too.
Hair.
Hair. Well, have you been reading my notes?
No.
What else?
Hands. Color.
Yes. Well done. Good job. Well, I was thinking now, what does God love about us? Is there a particular type of people God loves? And I was thinking, hair, does God love people with a particular type of hair? So I thought I'd try some on for you. What about this for a bit of a... Does God love just people with beards? What about... What about brown hair, curly people? What about brown hair, long hair people? Yeah, baby. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, no. What about
Christian people.
Oh, you've been reading my notes again. What are you doing to me, boy? Thanks. What about, I like this, my favorite. No. Anybody want to try on some of these? My personal favorite. Oh, actually, this is one. I'm not sure what this one is, but I found it anyway. No. What about my personal favorite? Is this one, I must admit. No. That's mine. God would just love people with blue hair.
No.
Blue rinse. Are we got any blue rinses in here today? Well, okay. So, does God love people with just one type of hair or what? I'm going to have to get some wisdom from the front. So, what type of people does God love with what different hair? What did you say?
All.
God loves all people. Isn't that amazing? So, not just people. Come on, Conan.
And Christians.
God even loves Christians. That's a good thing. And one of the things we're trying to remember is that when we look around, like you've said, each of us is different. Oh, your hair is different. My hair is different. The hair that I've got left is different from yours. And that's good. We're all different. What we say? You thinking something?
Sunday, when David was drawing his hand, it was very good. And then when he drawn my hand, it was so bad.
So God even loves Dave's really dodgy hand drawing. So one of the things that we was really lovely about what God does is that God loves all of us. There's not one expectation about color, it's about height, size, or anything. God loves us. And one of the ways God loves us is he sends his spirit through and in the world. And for Sunday school today, you guys are going to go out and do some really interesting stuff and learn some bits and pieces. And it looks like you've got something there. What's this? Is this something you want to show us? Or is it kids' pages? All right. You go and do some stuff out there and come and show me later. All right? So thanks, kids. I've got some notices. Well done. Good job. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Sam invited his friend along today. And Stella, you can go in there too if you want. They've got some... that's good. Hey, some notices. Like I said, where's my book? Here's my book. I really did... I was actually one of the highlights of... Bendigo is a beautiful spot. I'm not sure if you've been there. It's actually a beautiful spot. Most times I've just driven through and gone to the bakery. But this time we spent a couple of nights in the cities. A beautiful spot. All right. In your notices in the grapevine, you will have noticed that previously Ian Painter came up with his Magnificent Seven. Those quotes that he reflected on for his life. And my invitation to you all is come up with your own magnificent. They can be mild, they can be meandering, they can be meaningful, they can be massive. I don't care what sort of seven they are, you send it, we'll stick it in the grapevine. Obviously, there's a word count, so if you give me 20 pages, it ain't going to get in there. What is your top seven? I'll even accept five. I'll accept three. What are the top points in your life that if you summarized would be the thing that you said, yeah, this is what I've learned in my life. These are the top five things. You send it in to Colleen or myself, we'll stick it in the grapevine. I want to keep this running as long as we can. So Colleen's got her top seven this week. So let me know. Well, any other notices? We have Friday Friends coming up this week. And again, do a Sam and invite someone along. And that's always a good thing. Get them to come along, get out, roam about, have some chocolate, have some coffee. A good opportunity. Any other notices that I should be mentioning? Otherwise, well, good. Thank you, Fiona. Well, keep rolling on.
Rolling on indeed. I'm going to quote from Psalm 36, verses 5 to 6. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your thankfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the deepest deep. O Lord, you preserve both men and beast. How precious and priceless is your unfailing love. That amazing love of God. Love divine, in fact. Let's stand and belt out this wonderful hymn. Love divine, all loves excelling. Lord Heavenly Father, we bring you our offerings for this morning, not just the monetary and the goods, but we also bring ourselves. For we know you love us so that we may love others. You give us so much that we may serve others. And Lord, we ask for your blessings upon all that is offered. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's come together for the prayers of intercession. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honour. We acknowledge that you are all-powerful, all-loving, and all-gracious. We acknowledge that you walk with us wherever we go, whether we choose to recognise you or listen to you or not, that your love is paramount. Lord, we come here this morning with some heaviness in our hearts for things that we seem to have no control over and yet break us just a little. In particular, we pray for those global situations which just seem to be spiraling out of control, especially the Ukraine. Lord, may the world not get bored with the Ukraine. May we still give them our support in some way. May they know they are not alone. We pray for the powers all around the world that those who hear your voice may have the courage to act upon it. That those who wield power will do so diligently, wisely, and compassionately. We pray for the situation in Russia, which is so difficult to understand. Work upon those people, those leaders, we pray. And Lord, other parts of the world, the uncertainty around China, North Korea, those areas of despotism and famine and lack of good governance in parts of South Africa. Lord, we are so safe and secure here. We thank you for that. Help us to know how and when to act in your name. But meanwhile, Lord, we hold these places before you for your spirit and your people to act. Lord, we pray for our own government in this country at all the levels, that they too may hear your voice and act upon them, that they may know rest and wisdom. Lord, we pray for those that we know who are struggling in day-to-day life, for those with physical illnesses, those battling diseases which seem to be winning, for those who are struggling with mental health, depression, anxiety. Lord, help them to hold on to you. We ask for healing in whatever way and shape and form you choose to give it. We pray for those who are struggling in relationships. Oh Lord, may there be love and wisdom and patience. And Lord, we pray for ourselves that you will continue to be with us, that you continue to be patient with us, that you may help us to open our hearts and our ears, not only to those around us, but to your spirit. This we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. The reading today is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. The results of justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All we have to do is recognize it and accept it, but he has already poured his love into our hearts. You can remain seated for this one if you wish, but if you get enthusiastic and wish to stand, then do so.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, and we ask that as we listen to your words, sing your songs, pray that your spirit would continue to stir us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the interesting things about driving from Adelaide to Bendigo and back is when you listen to Elvis for 8 hours straight, There's a whole lot of phrases that we say normally that I just automatically go off into a song somewhere. So if I suddenly burst in a song, please excuse me. Psychological testing has occurred. Look, so last week we looked at the Trinity, and thanks, Rob, for that. And Never Give Up was a great message. Never give up the fight. And this week I'm wanting to run a bit of a series on the Holy Spirit. So this is the first week. And the idea is we're in Pentecost, so it's an obvious thing to do. The next slide picks out the 8 themes. Sorry about the size of the font, but it's really picking up salvation, reconciliation, redemption, forgiveness, adoption, freedom, new creation, united in Christ. So really, it's really good themes, and they're huge themes. So I could probably pick up one of those themes and run for a week, but anyway, or a month. So let's commence as we go through this. And part of what I'd like to do is try and find a quote or something that stirs my thinking. And the next slide picks this quote up. It goes like this: Pentecost reminds us today that the church is by nature always open to ongoing transformation and renewal by God's Spirit. There is always a sense in which biblical faith is always open to unpredictable, sometimes dramatic, paradigm shifts that keeps the life of faith open to the experience of God. Now, I like this quote, but I have to tell you, I have some problems with it. Now, there is a particular word in there that just rubs me up the wrong way. And if it's a word you use in a conversation with me, it'll still rub me up the wrong way. The word is, I'm not sure if you can guess, always. Thank you for that. Yes, always. So my family at home have been told repeatedly, for as long as they've been alive or with me, that if you say, David, you always, or David, you never, or if the kids say, Dad, I always get left, or Dad, I never get any chocolate, that might be a little bit true, but always and never for me are like, just, you want to push my button? Use that in a sentence and see what happens. Because for me, always or never is an exaggeration or a lie. It never rains in Adelaide. The sun always shines. David is always interesting. This is true. Stay online. Don't give up yet. You know, so it's, but like all things, there's always the exception to the rule. There are some things I'm willing to have always applied to. God always loves me. Yeah, like I have to run with that, because I know that actually there's enough proof of that. One of the things of this quote, which also is not true, Pentecost reminds us that the church by nature is always open to the ongoing transformation. Is that true? Do churches tend to dig their heels in and get set in their ways? Yes or no? Yeah, look at that. So what is that about human beings? I mean, do human beings, are we always open for transformation and change? How much have we enjoyed the last 2 years? Fail. How much are we enjoying this year? Well, like, so much change is happening, and we want to resist. I think there's another word in this sentence which I really do like. And interestingly, it's the same amount of times as always. And who said that one? Open. Yes, well done. So if we remove always, Pentecost reminds us today that the church is by nature open to ongoing transformation and renewal by God's Spirit. There is a sense in which biblical faith is open to unpredictable, sometimes dramatic paradigm shift that keeps the life of faith open to the experience of God. I like the word open. It's a confronting word, but it's really at the heart of what we're really trying to talk about today. Open to ongoing transformation, open to paradigm shifts. Like, you know, we see the world this way and suddenly we see it this way. Open. Open to the life of faith. Open to experiencing God. And I like the way that they're connected. There's a sense in which being open to the experience of God, you know, they're connected. It's very hard to be close to God and be transformed. I meet a lot of people who are resistors. And I think it's really, you know, if you're going to experience God and you're a resistor, you're going to experience God the hard way. And there are lots of biblical examples of that. We don't really have to go too far when we think about what happens to those who resist and God wants to transform and the journey that they go on. But more about that later. For me, openness is really what we're trying to do. And when we're talking about God's love being poured into our lives, we want to be open to that, don't we? I mean, when was the last time you got in your car without opening the door? When was the last time you got into your house without opening the door? When was the last time you got anything out of the fridge without opening the door? Opening is important. I can't really talk without opening my mouth. Although Eddie the echidna did sound like he was suffering a little bit of that. Open, being open is really important. So this next quote picks this up a bit. Well, not quite, but there's an attempt, to try and... Next slide. I won't even bother explaining that one. Let's go. Being open means seeing things both as they really are, as opposed to through the lens of fixed thought, and also as how they could be. The world is seen as alive, dynamic, and full of opportunity. Being open is exciting and interesting. New ideas. I was listening to a TED talk last night about retirement. Yeah, I know. Bear with me. And they said the happiest age of any human being... Well, who can guess the most happiest age when a human being is most happiest? What age do you reckon?
Five.
Any raise on five? 50. Others? Adrian, you've got an answer. You always got an answer. 60, thank you. What do you think? The answer was, by this particular person, 82. Well, maybe you get to the point of 82 and think, you know what? I don't care anymore. Woohoo! I got to 82, it doesn't matter. So I'm looking forward to get 82 to test that out. But it's interesting that there are so many things about being open. You know, when we're open, new ideas, we encounter new stuff. And that's, in my preaching, what I'm trying to do often with you is present a new idea or an old idea in a new way. Just to stir some thinking. Just to keep your brains ticking along. Just to keep you growing and open to new things. And I think that's really important. And part of, I guess, the tension is that sometimes we assume that simply doing something means that we learn. This next quote is part of the original first quote. And it goes on like this. Although many Christians are likely to view faith as a matter of nurture rather than as a matter of constant conversion, there's ample testimony in Scripture that biblical faith is not handed on or developed simply by a process of enculturation. In other words, you don't become a car by sitting in a carport or a garage. You know, in the same way you don't suddenly become a Christian by simply rocking up to church. It is crucial to realize that every age, the church is an institution that's filled with the Holy Spirit. So each of us have to be open. And however, having said that, I mean, it's really hard to go to a pub and expect to experience God. So church has a role, and that's why as people of the church, we have to be continually open to what we do and how we do it and how we communicate and who we connect with and the ages we do. Because it's like, how else do people connect in and know? It's this ongoing transformation. Hugh Mackay, who wrote a book entitled Beyond Belief, simply assumed that belief was something that churches passed on to the next generation. But we know that's not the case, don't we? Each person has to be transformed. I know people in my family who are not strongly connected to church or faith. In your families, you have similar people. If faith was simply handing it on, mate, we would have had to have that extension in years ago because we couldn't fit everybody in. It's not how it works, is it? People have to be open to be transformed. But like all things, that's not entirely true, because there's always exceptions to the rule. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit seems to be the exception to the rule, because there's ways in which people get impacted by God in ways none of us thought were possible. And that's part of the Holy Spirit at work in the world. Being transformed is hard. Hugh Mackay talks about how 45% of people in the recent poll, you know, census, thank you very much. Doing work and well down the front here, Fiona, good job. 45% of people in the latest census believe in God. 10% go to church. And we know that after COVID, that's probably even less. So there's a real mismatch, isn't there? There's a transformation that needs to happen. And I guess it's a bit like, there's lots of movies about transformation. Now, I'm not sure if you've got a favorite movie, but there's movies like Freaky Friday, where the mum and the daughter change bodies and suddenly have to live as each other. Or there's Tom Hanks was in that movie where he was a boy and suddenly ended up being a man, and he was still 5 or 6 or whatever it is in a man's body. Then there was another one called Trading Places, where Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd was really wealthy, up and rising talent in this lawyer's firm. The two bosses decide they're going to do an experiment, and Eddie Murphy, who's poor, they said, right, this poor guy, if we stuck him in a position of power, we'd be able to reverse it around. And it's just a confusing, confronting movie for the two people lives were transformed. There was another movie I watched, which from the 1990s, which I have to say, having watched a few highlights, is pretty crude and crass, so I wouldn't recommend it. But the idea was really interesting. There was this an American sheriff who had a bad heart. He was a racist. He was all these things. And one day his heart gave out and he was taken to hospital, had a heart transplant. Wakes up the next day wanting to know who it was whose heart he's got in his body. And he finds out that actually the heart he's got is one of his colleagues who was killed the same night. The difference was this was an African-American. And he had an African-American heart in his racist body, pumping around his racist blood. And one of the scenes that was memorable was when he meets the widow of this African-American and just the horror each other has. But the process is that this person who the actor is, once you hear what I say his name was, Bob Hoskins, you know, 5'2", foul mouth, but you could see over the course of the movie, his whole life changed. And the African-American appears as a ghost, so he has this conversation, and he says at one stage, my girlfriend only loves me because I've got your heart in me. Very interesting, full of metaphors for when we think about God's love being poured into our hearts, transforming us, making us different. You know, what degree of connection do we have? What degree of change are we aware of? So transformation, as we know, is not always willing. And there's lots of biblical images, like we've got Jonah. God says, go that way, and he goes that way. God says, speak to the people, do this, and he ignores all the advice, all the commands. He ends up getting chucked over the boat, swallowed by a whale, regurgitated, and then begrudgingly finds his way to Tarsus, Nineveh, and then proclaims God's word. Everybody is transformed, and he sits under a tree and says, I wish I was dead. Unwilling transformation occurs. We think of Saul, who was unwilling and was blinded on the road to Damascus, transformed, and he became Paul. So there is a sense in which when we're not open to God's Spirit, often we have to learn the hard way. Have there been times in your life when you've had to learn the hard way? Maybe that's part of your top 5 or 7. Listen to the Spirit. I don't know. What is part of your journey? Because part of this transformation that we're talking about in the Holy Spirit really means that we are being open. And what I love about the Romans 5 reading today is that once we were enemies, and one of the things that Paul said is, once we were God's enemies, now we're his friends. While we're still sinners, Jesus died for us. And the verse I particularly like is verse 5. This hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. You know, one of the images I like is that for some reason, the church and each one of us is like the cracked vessel. You know, God's love gets poured in and somehow it evaporates, it leaks, we use it up, but it just goes. So that's why it's not like, it's why it's an ongoing experience, our faith, our conversion, if you like, our discovery of God at work, because life keeps changing, experiences keep changing, and our faith has to change with it. That's where the Spirit, that's where prayer, that's where all this stuff comes in together. That's where gathering together helps, as we hear each other, encourage each other, support each other. So what does this mean for us today? Well, I actually tried to do a bit of rework on my sermon this morning. I get up about probably 6:45 every Sunday, sit through my sermon, reread it. This morning I cut and pasted all over the place. I really wasn't that happy with it. Having just gone through it, I thought, man, I should have left it where I left it. But it's really interesting that I guess this, one of the things I like about how I do business is that I'm open. I like to change. I like new change. I like things, different things. And I guess part of who we are as a community is continuing to need to be open. Open to new people, open to new songs, open to new ways of doing business, open to new voices, insights. Because I think that for me is really part of that transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And regardless what, if the happiest time in your life is 82, hey, well, you are more than open or getting towards that point. But like, what does it look like for you to continue to be open? Are there particular things that, maybe the color of someone's hair just rubs you up the wrong way? I don't know, what is it that you need to be open to maybe? Are there things you're conscious of that you're actually quite resistant to? And do you really want to do a Jonah or a Saul or a Paul or, because eventually, if we don't learn from our experiences, they hit us on repeat. And that can be a difficult challenge. Anyway, one of the last quotes I have to give us a bit of hope, just in case you think, oh, Dave. Desmond Tutu, in the end, what matters is not how good we are, but how good God is. Not how much we love him, but how much he loves us. And God loves us whoever we are, whatever we've done or failed to do, whatever we believe or can't. And I think fundamentally that for me is the underlying belief we have as the church, as the Christians. And that is our hope for all, that they discover just that little bit of love that God has for them. That's why we exist, to be God's love in the world. All right, so I've thrown a whole pile of different things at you. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and if you're sitting by yourself, well, have a really creative conversation. To what is one thing you're connecting with today? Online, what is one thing maybe you need to be open to? Maybe one thing you're conscious of? I don't know. Just, you got a bit of time, so you got 20 seconds, my style. So go. What do you think? Let me say a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that, you know, you can make lots of stuff out of things. And I really hope you make something out of my words today. May you help each one of us take away something that will grow our faith, will help us be open to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
Personally, I had no trouble following that whatsoever.
Oh, good.
I would like to remind you that if you do wish for someone to pray with you this morning or just talk about some of the issues that have been raised, then please come to the front and there will be someone who can assist you. But meanwhile, let's go into the week knowing that that love of God is there, that we just need to be open to how he works within us. Let's stand. Lord, the light of your love is with us.
Father's glory, place, Spirit, place, set our hearts.
As you go into this week, remember to be open to the ongoing transformation, open to paradigm shifts, open to the life of faith, open to experience the love of God. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.